What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. It's Super Bulldog weekend. It's Maroon Friday. Hope that you are celebrating Maroon Friday. Isn't it wonderful that we live in a country that we can celebrate Maroon Friday as we choose? Hope that you choose wisely. It's always good to rep the brand. I'm a big, big proponent of Maroon Friday. I think it's a cool thing. It started years ago, and then some other times it kind of faded a bit, but it is something that I think we should always do to identify ourselves as Mississippi State Bulldogs. Got a lot to talk about on the show. We're going to preview Kentucky. Picked up a couple more commitments yesterday. The portal is winding down for us. I think we've done well. We've certainly improved our size and strength in the trenches. And so now it's up to these coaches to get these guys up to SEC speed. Cool top 10 list for you today in honor of Super Bulldog weekend. You can draw your own conclusions from that, but it is, let's say, dog specific, as it should be. And the more I think about it, the more I realize a lot more songs out there I could have included. But nevertheless, we push forward as a people. We'll do some coaching search tidbits later in the show. I know you guys are eager to jump on board with that. We're running 60% off the annual subscription price at jeanspage.com right now, just to make it a little more affordable for you guys to kind of keep up with the latest developments. There's not going to be a ton of developments, but we're trying to get you more familiar with the candidates and just kind of share more of what we're hearing. We won't have an update every day, but we've had one every day this week. As we kind of make sense of the pool of potential candidates, and that list continues to grow. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love them. They love us. We love each other. One of the things that I love about Bulldog Burger Company is I know what to expect. Sometimes you go places, it's kind of hit or miss. A lot of consistency with what they do at Bulldog Burger Company. They absolutely get after it. They do a great job of taking care of you, making sure that your nourishment needs are met. They know how to feed folks. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. And then find a great restaurant quality hamburger that fits your needs of the day. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, I encourage you to just maybe start with the Bulldog. It's just a good straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger, and you can get things done. And as you make your subsequent visits to Bulldog Burger Company, perhaps branch out a little bit. You kind of my favorite is the Pimentology, add bacon, and I don't even like pimento and cheese sandwiches, but I love that pimento spread that they put on that burger. Always a lot of nourishment involved there. It'll put some hair on your chest. It will. If you're not feeling like a burger, but everybody else in your party is, maybe have that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. It's completely up to you. I'm not judging. I'm from South Mississippi, so ranch dressing always goes on my salads. And then get that chocolate shake for the ride home. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Spoke with Nick Mangione. let's see here. What is today? I spoke with Nick Wednesday night, and then we had the story up yesterday. and was going to be up yesterday morning, but we had some football commitment news, so we had to take that had to take precedence. And then we had Nick kind of preview the weekend, kind of update us on his club. In addition to that, you know, we had that one-on-one interview. Very grateful for these coaches to take a little time to talk some ball with us. It's a new feature we've added to jeanspage.com's baseball coverage this year as we've expanded our coverage. And that's what we're always trying to do. You know, we don't just expect you to keep paying the same amount for just the same things. We're always looking to add some content. And already this morning at jeanspage.com, we've got the Friday preview of Nate Harris, their Friday starter. So let's jump in and kind of see what kind of year it's been for the Wildcats. They're 25-17 overall, 10-11 in SEC play. So just ahead of us in the SEC standings, but Mississippi State actually has a better record than the Wildcats do at this point in the season. What's interesting about this Kentucky team, they went to Omaha for the first time last year. They basically returned the catcher, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. They basically just returned the catcher, lost so much on the weekend, their closer, and I believe 8 of 9 in the starting lineup. Yeah, pretty crazy. Think about that. And they should make the postseason. Would be the, I guess, for third straight time. First time in school history that that feat will have been accomplished. But, yeah, we fully expect those guys to make a regional. But, yeah, they've had some moments that have been very good and some others that have been maybe not so good. But they are 10-7 away from Lexington. It's tough to win on the SEC road. They open up at a couple of exhibition games, you know, like we all do, you know, during fall baseball. But they open up with the three-game series against Lipscomb. They actually only get two of those games in. The Wildcats win the first one 11-0 in 7 innings. And then the back end of a doubleheader there, they get beat 3-1. The finale of that game, of that series, was canceled. They get a pair of wins to open up the series against Belmont. They actually swept that series. 2-1 is your Friday night final, 12-0 and a 9-5. So, you know, three wins there. They knock off the Purple Aces of Evansville 24-3. You remember how great the Purple Aces were last year. When we swept them, people were like, oh, this is just a harebrained series. But they ended up being one win away from Omaha. Kentucky takes down Morehead State in a midweek affair 8-2, and then they have Hofstra come in to sweep that series. And so, again, you look up, and it's like, man, these guys are absolutely rolling here. They get a pair of midweek games scheduled against Eastern Kentucky. Only one of those was played. The Wildcats win 16-0. Wofford comes in. Of course, Wofford had the roster kind of pillaged in the offseason. As a couple of those guys went to LSU. And then we get into SEC play. They lose 2 out of 3 at Georgia. They win the middle game 10-7. But the other two, maybe not as competitive as Coach Mangione would have liked. They get beat 12-6 and 17-10. So give up a lot of runs in that series, even giving up 7 in the game they win. They actually lose a midweek game to Murray State. The Racers go into Lexington and win 5-4. And then it's the series against Auburn. And it was an interesting dynamic in this one. Every one of these games, extremely competitive. Kentucky could have swept this series, and I'm sure they would tell you they should have. They lose 8-7 on Friday and Saturday. The Saturday game actually goes 11 innings, and then a Sunday shutout, 6-0 to salvage a game there. But again, you've dropped your first two series in SEC play. And then they lose a midweek affair to Xavier. And again, I think that says more about the pitching depth. It's tough to put midweek guys on the mound. And then you have to, you know, get some guys going a little bit better and move them to the weekend. That's kind of what happened with Nate Harris. They go to College Station, Texas, and they get them at a good time, right? It's kind of before A&M started figuring some things out, and Kentucky gets two of those three and really just kind of a swing away from sweeping that series. But it kind of gave them the opportunity to right the ship. Ole Miss goes to Lexington. A very hotly contested series goes all three games are separated by just 2 runs. 4 runs determine this series. Kentucky wins game one of the doubleheader 5-4 in 10 innings. And then they lose game two 3-1. And then game three goes 12 innings, and it's the Rebels who win to capture that series. And that's a pretty loud win. To be able to go to Lexington and play a team like Kentucky and come out of there with a couple dubs. They lose a midweek affair at Louisville and then head down to Texas and just get one game there. They lose Friday 3-6, win on Saturday 5-4 in 15 innings. These guys have played a lot of extra inning games and then lose 5-4. And again, you look at what Texas has done to the SEC schedule this year. Going into the weekend, were they five games up in the standings? Now, they got a good chance to clinch this weekend. So, yeah, you host them, and you nearly take the series. Thought that Sunday game was going to go the way to Wildcats. They win a midweek game against Miami of Ohio, and then for some reason, Nick Mangione has just gotten the best of his team when they play Tennessee. Just something about that. It's the Mangione kryptonite with Tony Botello. They have made Tennessee a regular opponent that they can get victories. They get two out of three in Knoxville. At the time, Tennessee was ranked number two in the country. The Volunteers win the Friday game 8-2, and then great pitching performances on Saturday and Sunday as the Wildcats take a 4-1 victory and then an 8-2 decision to take the series. And again, it's such a big deal to win on a road in the Southeastern Conference. They bounce back against Louisville in a rivalry game. They mercy rule the Cardinals 17-5. And then last weekend, they host South Carolina. And again, probably a series they should have swept. They win 7-3, game one of a doubleheader on Saturday, and then lose 5-4, and then win the rubber match 11-5. Earlier this week, they lost to Bowling Green 6-4. So you see, midweeks have been a real challenge, but they have been extremely competitive on the weekends. We expect an extremely competitive series this weekend at Duty Noble Field. I think everybody would agree with that. I mean, you've known Nick Mangione. Even in the years, perhaps, where they have not been their best, they have still been a very competitive club. So let's kind of look inside the numbers here. They've been fairly consistent with their rotation in recent weeks. You know, Nate Harris, a guy, of course, that started out as a freshman, as a midweek starter, has kind of moved into the weekends here in the last month. The offense is led by Cole Hage. I asked Mangione directly about him, and he gave four attributes, and a couple of those were brains and guts. He said, this is a guy that's not scared of the big moment. It's interesting to look at these numbers. 331 is the overall average, and this is a Kentucky offense that maybe is not elite. I think people would probably agree with that. But Cole has been the most consistent hitter. He has played in 41 games with 40 starts, leads the team with 41 runs scored, is second on the team with 48 hits, and leads the team with 10 jacks and 33 RBI. You're going to have to basically kind of find a way to pitch around him, make him hit your pitches. He's also a guy that's willing to get hit by the pitch. He walked just 22 times and has been hit by the pitch 14. So that's 36 free passes to go along with those 48 hits. So he is a guy that, you know, is getting on base at a pretty high frequency. Beneath him, Patrick Herrera, hitting 322, got a couple jacks, 28 ribbies. Tyler Bell, 6 jacks, 40 ribbies, hitting 321. But as a team, they're hitting 274. There's not a lot of length in this lineup, but they do get creative. They are a team that wants to run the bases. They're a team that wants to use the small game. They bunt a lot. They move runners. They put a lot of stress on your pitcher and on your defense. It's not a pitch-and-catch experience. When you get together with Kentucky. And, you know, we have had some issues when it's come to controlling the running game. Kentucky has attempted 131 stolen base attempts this year. They've been successful 107 of those. So think about that. They've been thrown out 24 times, but they still have 107 stolen bases to their credit. On the flip side, they've only allowed 32 stolen bases. So, yes, they are going to run the bases. They are going to have double steals, and it is up and down the lineup. It is not a situation where you've got two or three guys. It is basically a tenet of the Nick Mangione offensive experience for the Kentucky Wildcats. Now, and they take chances. You know, it's not one of these situations where they're going to go just in, you know, predictable counts. They will go at any time, and that's part of the stress that they want to induce upon their opponents. But we talked about Cole Hage. He's 11 of 15. And you start. You just got to run the numbers here, and it's so interesting to look here. I mean, you got guys that are basically down the dugout depth pieces that have stolen bases. You know, it's so crazy to think about. Like, Ethan Ethan Hendel, pardon me. I know how to speak. Yeah, he's only played in 22, started 22 games for them this year. He's 11-11 in stolen bases. And so, yes, they are going to run at times at will. And it's very unpredictable in how they do it. Now, Justin Parker, obviously, is well aware of Kentucky's penchant for the running game. And he mentioned that in postgame on Tuesday. They're going to work some on the short game. They're going to work a lot on controlling the running game this week in practice. And when you don't have maybe an elite offense, you have to get creative. And that's kind of been the book on Nick Mangione over the years, is that he finds a way to compete even when he doesn't have the most competitive team. He's a guy that kind of wills them along and puts them in scenarios and situations where they can be successful. And so that is one of those things that just jumps off the page when you begin to think about, you know, our deficiencies and you think about the matchup. Right, if I'm Nick Mangione, I am absolutely licking my chops, thinking about running against Mississippi State because it isn't just the catchers. We just haven't done a great job controlling the running game. We did last year, but it really hadn't been the case this year. And so walks have to come at a minimum. You know, free passes, all that stuff, hit by pitches. We've got to ensure that we're not allowing them free passes, just because we know what's going to happen. They're going to get going. Now, Kentucky, 107 stolen bases in the year, is 16th in the country. And they run the bases more aggressively than any team in the Southeastern Conference. Everybody ahead of them in the national standings is from another conference. Most of these are from what we consider G5 programs. But among Power 5 teams, Kentucky is third in the country when it comes to running the bases. So you need to be mindful of that. I know many of you think, hey, we'll just kind of show up here and play baseball and hope for the best. But that is going to be a big part of our weekend. And the thing that I have learned over the years, against most teams, if you're able to get caught stealing early, they begin to kind of reconsider things. That's just not true with Kentucky. They are going to do what they do and what their coach do. They're going to run their system, their offense. And they're going to get out there and stress your pitchers as best they can. And that's the thing with Minge, I think, is always, it's made him kind of unique, is you never know when he's going to do something. And he got us on that U-trip play, right? The same thing that LSU scored on twice in that weekend. You know, in the first and third defense, we're going to have to be extremely strong because they're going to do all kind of crazy stuff. They'll have a guy get out there and just fall down, running from first to second to ensure the run scores from third. Last time we had them up here, they ran that play. And so always trying to steal a run. You can never have enough runs in the Southeastern Conference, no matter what the score is. I don't care if you get up 10-0. And then as we saw last Saturday, State gets up 10-1 and has to hang on 11-7. And so Nick Mangione is one of these kinds of guys that coaches his kids to think, you know what, hey, we are never out of the ball game. It is never a situation where we're just going to pack up and play for tomorrow. We're going to do what we can as often as we can to ensure that we inflict pain and stress on our opponents. It's just how things are. On the pitching side of things, it's so interesting, right? You look at this, and how many times have you seen, you know, teams have to kind of change things up? Not a lot with Kentucky this year. They have been fairly consistent with who starts and when, and I think that says a lot about their arm care program and, of course, their strength and conditioning program. You got Ben Cleaver and Nick McKay that have 11 starts, and then James McCoy that has 10, and then Nate Harris, the new Friday starter, has 9. Ethan Walker has 9, and then from there, it's just kind of, you know, spread out. Leighton Harris has a start. Scott Rouse has a start. Many of those starts kind of coming in as double midweek games, but on the weekends, they have been very, very consistent in that respect. Ben Cleaver is a guy that we'll see later in the weekend. Probably the most effective guy. When I was at Auburn, you know, talking to some of our friends there, they mentioned him as a guy that was really difficult to deal with. And what I mean by that is that he's very competitive and he throws pitches on odd counts. He doesn't get in a predictable situation. So I asked Mangione about him, and he says, you know, he's just a guy that gets under barrels. He's just a guy that misses barrels. And a lot of that isn't necessarily him having great stuff, and he does have good stuff. It's just the fact that he pitches so unpredictably. He'll pitch you backwards, and just when you think there's no way we get a fastball, next thing you know, he throws a fastball with a little ride to it. And you're so late reacting. If you do get something on it, you're just popping that ball up on the infield. You know, there's just not a lot to him where he's going to give you a whole lot. And he's pitched deep in some ball games. He leads the team with 59.2 innings pitched on the season. And those are the things that you think about. This is a guy that's going later in the weekend. He's 5-2 with an ERA of 3.02. Not a lot of people are going to have that later in weekends. Nick McKay, a guy that we're also going to see, he's 4-0 in the year. With a 3.42 ERA, 11 starts, he's worked 52 innings. And that's one of the things about this pitching staff for Kentucky is they don't work really deep into ball games, but they will get into the middle innings and kind of turn things over to the bullpen. And Minge has a tendency to kind of play matchups. But again, it's one of these things, too, where if you can get some separation on Friday and get into that pen a little bit, and make them use up some arms, it kind of sets you up better on Sunday. But this is going to be one of the most competitive teams that we're going to see all year long, regardless of the situation. Every ball game is going to be one of those nerve-wracking experiences where, you know, you can never get comfortable. That includes the fans, coaches, staff, players, everybody. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about this Kentucky team like they're Texas. But you go back and you look at that Texas series and you saw how competitive they were against Texas. And again, I'm sure they feel like they should have taken that series. And then you go look at the standings and you're like, well, wait a minute. Kentucky's 10-11 in the league and Texas is ahead by 5 games over everybody. They're running away with it. I think, that, again, that's kind of a microcosm of what to expect when you play Kentucky. And to get those guys into a regional this year, I mean, think about that. This is a rebuilding year, right? And so Kentucky gets to Omaha for the first time in school history last year. They were the last Southeastern Conference team to be able to hang an Omaha banner in league history. And it just happened last year. It's incredible to think about that. And then you basically lose the entire team. And I hear you.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
You are, with 3 weekends to play, and you got double-digit SEC wins and a chance to get back in a regional somewhere. That's elite coaching, if you ask me. And I remember in the offseason, some people were like, you know, hey, Kentucky's doing really well in the portal. But some people were like, yeah, but a lot of that is quantity rather than quality. And I was one of those people, too, and I still believe that, right? I mean, the rankings themselves maybe are not reflective of the portal class that they put together. But what's interesting to me about that is Nick Mangione finds players that fit his culture and his scheme. And he made a great comment, one of our you know, conversations the other night, kind of off the record, is that you find your evaluation piece, right? You have the evaluations have got to be great. But in addition to that, you have to have the opportunity to sell them on playing baseball at Kentucky. I mean, they don't get crowds until the month of May. You know, we went up there and played a couple years ago, and you remember, it was like 18 degrees, and the wind was blowing. It's one of the coldest I've ever been in my life. I was in the press box. Dana was shooting photos for me. I had to give her my jacket. So she wore two jackets down on the field. It was absolutely brutal up there. So it's not going to be a typical SEC crowd most of the time. And they're a little fair weather. Let's just kind of be honest about it. You know, but baseball will always be, at best, third at Kentucky. Men's basketball is always going to be number one. Football is going to be number two. And so that's part of the deal, right? So you're having to sell recruits on, yeah, you're going to play in a Southeastern Conference. We're going to be extremely competitive, have a chance to go to the postseason, and you're not going to hardly have any fan support until it warms up a little bit around here. And everywhere you go on the road, you know, people are going to be chirping at you and things like that. And they're going to chirp back. I mean, that's kind of Kentucky's thing, you know. They have to generate some energy from somewhere because they don't have fans to do that for them. That's one of those things that I think maybe perhaps people don't realize about Kentucky. If they just kind of sat there and observed the game from the dugout, there would be nobody encouraging those players. I mean, and I had somebody say this once, and I think it's a great, great comparison about Kentucky and, say, Mississippi State. If you make a mistake and you make an error, Tuesday night game against, Murray State in Lexington, you know, the only people that know that you did that are probably the 500 that are there in attendance. If you make that same error at Mississippi State, there's probably 500 tweets before you get back to the dugout. You know, there's just a different culture and a different level of expectation. But when you look at what Kentucky's done the last few years and look at what we've done, I think you'd have to say that they've done a better job. I think that's fair to say. I don't know that anybody would disagree with that. And so, yeah, obviously Nick Mangione is an obvious candidate for Mississippi State. The buyout certainly is an issue. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to go get Nick Mangione to be the head coach at Mississippi State, we're going to have to write a couple of really big checks. And a lot of people would say, you know what, I don't think it's worth it. You know, and here's the thing that I would say. What do we do 2 years down the road and let's say we go get, you know, some sitting G5 guy or we go get an SEC assistant. And it takes them 2 years to kind of figure this thing out because you wanted to maybe save some money. Can we afford to do that? You know, I'm not saying we got to go write a check and pay the University of Kentucky $6 million for the rights to get Nick Mangione to sign a contract. I'm not saying that's the right move. But we can ill afford to go bargain shopping here. And I don't think that's the case at all. In my conversations with many people at Mississippi State, everybody appears to understand the importance of this hire. And I would venture to say, this may be, when you think about Zach Selman, his legacy, his time at Mississippi State, this may be the most important hire he makes. Now, he hired Jeff Levy for football. He said, well, Steve, you know, football takes care of everything. Yes, it does. But I think, obviously, number one, Jeff Levy was a popular name among our fan base because of his success at both Ole Miss, Central Florida, and Oklahoma. And so, yeah. To me, it's kind of an obvious hire. It's a guy you know. It's a guy that's a very offensive coach. And as you guys know, in Mississippi State, we got to be a little bit different. You know, we got to be able to go out there and put some things up offensively that maybe other people can't. And last year didn't go exactly the way we wanted. We were pretty much kind of devoid of talent on one side of the football, especially. But when you think about what baseball means to this fan base, what it means to this university, what it means to the branding of this athletics department, you can't just go get the up-and-comer. Not saying that we won't, but that can't be your focus from day one. And I can give you the assurances that's not the route we're looking to take right now. We're just looking to find the right coach. What makes the most sense for Mississippi State? Who is going to give us the chance to return to national prominence? And the thing that I ask you is, well, how much is that worth? Right? And you got to think that yourself, right? And it's so easy to spend other people's money. It is. But if we decide to do this, you know, it may prove to be one of those things too, where you look back and say, yeah, we made the right decision. It was pricey, it was expensive, but it was the right decision. And there are other people who are going to be critical no matter what we do. And we can't listen to that, right? But I submit to you that if we make a mistake here, and I'll give you an example, okay? And maybe we've talked about this. I know I have discussed this with many of my friends. And I think it's one of those things, too, that, you know, everybody's an expert. You know, everybody's, you know, and it's so interesting. There's so many people out there with their hot boards on Twitter and things like that. They don't know what's going on, you know. They're just trying to get engagement from you, you know. But you remember Justin Hare, our friend from Campbell, right? And when those guys came in here, man, they played a good brand of baseball. And then Justin Hare, I was so impressed with him. You having a chance to interview him a couple times and just kind of being around him. The guy just is a great personality. Well, he gets a job at Ohio State. I don't know if you're big baseball fans at Ohio State. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't know. I don't know your needs. I don't know how you meet them. But first year at Ohio State, Justin Hare is 11-30. 11-30, 3-18 in their conference. They have not won a game in a true road game on the year. In fact, counting the neutral side games, they are 1-20. Yeah, miserable, man. Miserable. And again, not to say that they won't get it going up there, but we can't accept that next year. We can't. And you know, basically, my philosophy has always been, especially with baseball, somewhat in football, but especially in baseball, not so much in basketball, you know, because, you know, there's so many Division I teams, right? And at some point, everybody plays everybody. And the eye test is very important, especially in basketball. I mean, you can tell if a guy can run, jump, and shoot, right? You know, we're all shooting the same rim. But the reality of it is, you know, defensive pressure is a lot different in conferences like this. But everybody plays somebody of note, that you get a pretty good evaluation of a basketball player. It's true. But in baseball, the thing that I've always said is that it is so difficult for the G5 coach on the recruiting side of things because they don't know an SEC player until they play one, right? And so my concern about Justin Hare has always been, yes, they play a really good brand of baseball at Campbell. We are fans of the Fighting Campbells. We feel like they're our cousins. There were a lot of people last year that were like advocating for Lemonis to get fired. Let's go hire Justin Hare. Let's go do that. That's the guy. 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 And now you see the numbers. Right? And again, not to say that they're not going to be great in 2 years, but they're taking some lumps right now. And so if we had, let's say we're Mississippi State and we've won 11 games, are you willing to accept that? No. And so again, the dynamic here that I'm looking at, when we get ready to hire somebody, I need someone, not that is just capable, but is experienced enough to beat LSU and Arkansas for a recruit. Somebody that is skilled enough to convince them that, hey, it's better to come to Mississippi State than go be a Georgia Bulldog. And if you've never done it, you've never done it. I mean, just think about you, right? You drive your car every single day. You say, I know how to drive. Okay, well, let me go put you behind an Indy 500 car. Let's see how you do then. Well, you might be able to keep it from hitting the wall, but are you going to be capable of winning the race? The answer to that question, 99% of the time, is going to be no, you're not. Well, I know how to drive, but you don't know how to drive at that level. And that's the same thing with a lot of these coaches. Yeah, they know how to coach. They know how to run the system. They know how to put a schedule together. And they may win the Wiggins 500, but they're not winning the Birmingham 500 or certainly the Atlanta 500. You're not even going to qualify for the Indy 500. And so until you've done it, you don't know how to do it. And I don't care what anybody says or does. That's the thing about this recruiting piece. Do you think that a program like Campbell or Troy or Georgia State, do you think they're winning NIL battles? Do you think they're even having NIL battles? Well, if they are, they're not hotly contested because they don't have the same amount of resources. When you think about LSU and the machine that they've put together on the NIL front, how do you take a coach that has never had to deal with that and say, okay, we'll go win? He can't. He doesn't have the skill set. And that's an important aspect of all of this. And I think the casual fan at times is a little bit ignorant about. I think we say, hey, well, this guy won at the University of Louisiana. You know, this guy won at Lamar. So you ought to be able to do it here. You know, winning baseball is winning baseball. That's just not the case, though. I wish I lived in that world, but that's just not true. The reality of it is it takes a very special individual. That's not to say that an SEC assistant coach couldn't get it done, because they've seen it up close. They know what it looks like. When you take somebody from the G5 level, they're going to probably have to be two times or three times as good a coach, because they're going to see things for the first time. And I don't know that we have time for a coach to learn as he goes. Everybody learns a little bit, but when you don't know what you don't know, and you get into the seat of a program like Mississippi State Baseball, you could be humbled very quickly. No question about it. Let's give our player of the preview to the player of the weekend. The guy that I think needs to have a big weekend for Mississippi State. And I guess we'll look at the availability report, you know, while we have this discussion, just because of the fact that I think there are some pitching matchups that are maybe somewhat favorable to us. You know, Kentucky's not a team that has a ton of power, but they are a team that's going to cause chaos on the bases. So looking at the Mississippi State Kentucky weekend. Ethan Hendel is out. Why do I keep saying Ethan? Ethan Hendel is out. Outfielder Will Marcy is out. Pitcher Robert Hogan is out. Mississippi State, Charlie Foster, Jackson Owen, Chase Hungate, Gavin Black, and JT Schnuer are all out too. None of those are new developments. We think Hungate is not done for the year. Maybe another week. We'll have to see how things go and how he responds to treatment. That's an aspect of this. You know, with if you had Hungate, you'd feel even better about the weekend. But looking at the SEC pitching probables for our series, no changes to Mississippi State. But on the Kentucky side, Nate Harris, the Friday guy, a freshman. Again, the preview's already up for him. Nick McKay, a right-hander. And then Ben Cleaver, a left-hander that the folks at Auburn talked about how difficult he was to deal with. So you got a righty-righty, a lefty. I think Noah Sullivan has to kind of carry a lot of the weight this weekend. Now, with these righties on the mound Friday, Saturday, you feel like, hey, that may favor the lefties. But, you know, Noah Sullivan, a guy that's in a position to do some damage and has had a pretty good, you know, few days. But the reality of it is, I think Noah Sullivan is your close with Blair player to watch this weekend against Kentucky. If you don't know about Close of Blair, go check it out today. Blair closed another Boneyard loan this week. Gave me an update. Said, yeah, we closed the loan this week. And so clearly it's working out for him. It's working out for me. It's working out for all of you. So look to Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344 for your mortgage needs. What are you looking for? Your first home, your next home, or your retirement home? Blair is the name to know. 24 years of experience. And nobody stays in an industry that long by accident. That's why it's closed with Blair.com. Works with Priority One Mortgage and is a guy that gets things done. He can be your advocate with underwriting and get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Don't overthink it. Right? It's well, I'm gonna shop around. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stick with Blair. I'm just telling you, that's the best way to go. It's a name that you know, a person you can trust. Get his expertise. and know-how working for you. Get that pre-qualification letter. You'll be glad you did. You get a very motivated real estate agent when they know that your financing's been approved and exactly what you're dealing with, so you can shop for homes within your means. Everybody deserves the dream of homeownership to come true. Take some guesswork out of it and stick with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Be sure and let him know you heard about him on the Boneyard too. Yeah, be sure you do that. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. That is a Mississippi State owned and operated company down in Lake Jackson, Texas. Grandma still lives here. Yeah, and so they're back and forth a good bit. I play a little bit. I don't play well, but I do enjoy playing. And maybe you're a novice aficionado like me. You know, like you just kind of like to get out there and just let some stress out and just play a little bit. And there's something to be said for that. As we get older, sometimes we abandon our creative, you know, experiences. We start thinking, well, you know, I just got to pay the mortgage and I'm so tired. Sometimes you got to do some things for yourself. Maybe you always thought about picking up the guitar. Great starter guitars, but also guitars all the way up to professional grade. So, you know, maybe you're somebody that is actually a practicing musician and it's time to upgrade your equipment. Look to Calido Guitars. Now, we're going to give you some incentive that also benefits Mississippi State. Whether you're looking for guitars, guitar strings, gig bags, cases, whatever you need guitar related, I got a cool guitar stand from them. Very happy with that. Very happy with that. It's super cool. You don't want your guitar leaning up against the wall and damaging that neck, right? You get a guitar stand for a reason. They're not that expensive, but you don't just need to have your guitar leaning against the wall. Not good for it. It's not. But when you purchase through Calido Guitars, they're great selection, incredible service, and their expertise and know-how before, during, and after the sale make it worth your while anyway. You should support a Mississippi State business because you're a Bulldog, but also because they do a great job. If that wasn't enough, if you give them promo code BSR, whether you do it in person or you phone it in or you order online, promo code BSR, that triggers some cool things. You get 10% off your purchase. In addition to that, there's no sales tax charged unless you live in the state of Texas. And then a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence/Initiative will be made. So you're helping Mississippi State getting a high quality instrument or accessories at a discount, and also ensuring that Mississippi State puts competitive teams on the courts and fields of play for years to come. Very proud to partner with Calido Guitars. Okay, it's Super Bulldog weekend. So we're going to do a top 10 list about dogs. And it's also the, you know, the big derby, right? The Wiener Racing. Had a chance to meet the owner, organizer of that earlier today. And he tells me they got racers coming all the way from New York City, Colorado, Arizona, right here to our wonderful little town. They have dog bars in several major cities, including New York and Dallas, that are going to stream the races. This has become a really big deal. And you know what's even more cool about it is the owner organizer doesn't make anything. It's all a volunteer thing just to do something great for Starkville. I think that deserves our respect. Many of you are coming. The kids are coming. It's going to be a good day, maybe a little bit of a wet day. But, yeah, we're going to have the Wiener Roast Derby. Maybe the Wiener Racing Derby. I mean, that's a better way to say that. We're not going to roast any of the Wiener dogs. But you may be able to grab your hot dog while you're out there if you need some nourishment. But come and enjoy that, too. So to celebrate the Derby and to celebrate Super Bulldog Weekend, we're going to do a list of songs about dogs. And there's some that aren't going to be on here, right? Like, how much is that doggy in the window? Not on a list. I'm not a big Pink Floyd fan, so you know, that's not making it. I would throw out an honorable mention to my friends in Lynch Mob, Dance of the Dogs. It's about a stripper. But nevertheless, I think you'll enjoy that. But here we go. Top 10 songs about dogs. Number 10, Johnny Cash. Kind of a memorable and funny, humorous song that he performed. I think probably the live version on the live at the Folsom Prison is probably the better version. But it's the Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog. If I could talk today. Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog. Number 9, and this is a cool little song, too. It actually was a top 10 hit. A bit of a one-hit wonder, I guess you could say, from Lobo. It's Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. You know, when you're starting out in life, you know, you find that special someone. You know, maybe you're not ready to have kids. You go get a dog, and next thing you know, there's the three of you. You feel like you got a little bit of a family. Number 8, off the Done With Mirrors album, which was the first for Aerosmith after the reunion. You know, and maybe calling it a reunion's not right. Which when Joe Perry came back to the band, you know, they had some issues. And they get back together, and actually the best song on this album is a Joe Perry project track, Let the Music Do the Talking. But The Reason a Dog, it's a cool little song about double entendre. You know, The Reason a Dog has so many friends. I think you'll enjoy that. And Done With Mirrors was an interesting album, and it took a little while to kind of get going. And the next thing you know, Permanent Vacation came, and then Pump came, and the next thing you know, Aerosmith was back to superstardom. Number 7. This is from the Opossum, right? It's George Jones. It's Old Red. A lot of people have covered it, but if memory serves me correct, George Jones wrote it first. And it's about being in jail, and he had befriended the warden and got to know that old dog, and he was a good tracking dog, and he was just a very reliable dog. And so there was a song written about him. Number 6, we've talked about Iggy Pop on the show before, but the Stooges, I think we've had this on here before, this song, but it's I Want to Be Your Dog. And it's one of those songs, too, where you know the opening riff because it's been used commercially so many times. It's been a lot of movies and things of that nature. But you may not have known the name of the song. It's I Want to Be Your Dog from the Stooges. And, of course, Izzy Pop was the front man of the Stooges. Probably the best country song, I think, of all time about dogs. And I remember this, early 90s. I remember who I was dating. I remember the first time I heard it. Her brother was a big fan of the song. It's from the Pirates of the Mississippi. It's Feed Jake. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. He's a good dog, you know. And we all love our dogs. We do. They're like part of our family. Number 4, you knew we couldn't do, you know, a list like this without mentioning Chris Cornell. Really happy about Chris Cornell and Soundgarden going into the Hall of Fame, even though I'm not a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan. But off the Temple of the Dog album, one of the great songs, and it's probably been hidden from you, like you probably know Hunger Strike and Say Hello to Heaven, but maybe you didn't listen to the rest of the album, which is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And it didn't get re-released. You know, it was just kind of like a side project. They didn't really promote it. And then after Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam kind of took off, the record company re-released Temple of the Dog. It has been remastered in recent years. And Chris used to perform this song live as part of his solo sets. But it's Call Me a Dog. And basically, it's about a relationship. It's actually a wonderful song. And it's about when a guy and a girl have a disagreement. And that's part of what he's talking about. You know, you call me a dog, but I call you beautiful. If I call you anything at all, you know. And basically, it's like, I love you even in our times of discontent. You call me a dog, I guess that's fair enough, you know. But I love the song, I always have. And when it's my turn to throw the next stone, I call you beautiful. Love it, man. It's basically like, you know what, I hate when we fight, but when we fight, I'm going to fight fair. I'm not going to call you all these ugly things, no matter what you call me. I think the sentiment behind the song is absolutely beautiful. Number 3, it's a cover, but we would be remiss if we did not always bow down to the king. And it's Elvis Presley's Hound Dog. Of course, it's an old blues standard, and he covered it, of course, the Pride of Tupelo, Mississippi, Elvis Presley. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. And you can see it, right? You can hear it in your head before you even turn it on, right? You ain't ever caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine. Great, great song. Number two, we had to work it in. I wish we had the Chuck Smooth version, but we don't. And, of course, some people ripped off Chuck Smooth for the Baja Men, but we're going to go with Who Let the Dogs Out, number two. You remember how much fun that was when that song was popular? And we played it at Davis Wade Stadium. It was great. But number one, the best song ever about a dog. We'll let the suspense build here. It's Led Zeppelin's Black Dog. I think it's the best opening line of a song, too. You know, hey, hey, mama. Said, the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. Love it, man. And love that little guitar part in the beginning, kind of intro to kind of count Robert in. Black Dog from Led Zeppelin off Led Zeppelin 4. Some people call it the Runes album. It's legendary. I think everybody, every teenager at like 13 or 14, I don't know how it happens, but like somehow you end up with a copy of Led Zeppelin 4. And back in my day also, just sometimes that you'd have these vinyls show up of Peter Frampton, just kind of show up, you know, Frampton Comes Alive, next thing you know, you're listening to that. There are just some albums that have to be a part of your life. Led Zeppelin 4 is one of them. So be sure and check it out. This is our list today. If you're looking for our list and you have a suggestion, we make it easy for you. Find Roy Samanti, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. Or you can send it to me. I may not see it as quickly as he will. And you can find our great list on Spotify under Dogmatic67 as well. Just hit subscribe. You're always looking for something new and interesting to listen to, and we provide that at no charge. We're happy to do it. But yeah, hit us up if you get ideas. And we've gone through some recently, and some of you have made some requests that I just don't know that I can do well. I just don't know if I can do justice to the list because I don't know the catalog as well. And sometimes when I travel, you guys turn me on and I'll just listen. And we've done some of those lists too because I'm always looking for cool stuff too. You know, so I appreciate your recs. And I'm also excited about this new Sleep Token album coming out too. That's all I did yesterday was write about Mississippi State. We had some stuff happening. We had some portal stuff. We'll talk about some commitments here shortly, but also too, we took care of the dogs and we listened to Sleep Token all day. All day. That's what we did. And I don't know how you feel about the new blood when it comes to rock music. I like Sleep Token because it's kind of a genre-bending band. You know, they do a lot of metal stuff. They do some falsetto stuff and play the piano. It's kind of got some R&B mix in it. Of course, nobody knows who they are, but they do. But the full album, even in Arcadia, comes out May 9th. And there have been three songs of the 10 released so far, Emergence, Caramel, and Democulus. And so be sure and check them out. They're a very unique band. It's all about the music with them. It's not really about image or interviews or anything of that nature. They just kind of go do their thing. But I enjoy Sleep Token. I think you guys will as well, no matter what you listen to. It's very different. And some people don't get it. Like some people say this is like emo music. You know, whatever. I don't judge people. I try not to be a music snob. You enjoy what you enjoy. And I enjoy Sleep Token. I do. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and you do too. You know you do. And if you don't, you just don't know them. Because to know them is to love them. Because they have all the things that we covet. That's right, new Mississippi State merch. You can make every Bulldog in your family and your friend group happy by buying a Mississippi State merch. It's what we want. Right? Everybody out there has got their eye on a new Mississippi State piece of clothing. You can find that wonderful apparel at Campus Bookmart along with many gift ideas. I always remind you that the diploma frames are coming up. Finals week is next week. You're going to have some Bulldogs graduate in your family. Be the aunt or uncle or grandparent of choice by getting a timeless gift like that diploma frame. It is such an incredible gift. And it's something people don't think about. That's why I'm here, right? Find everything you need to outfit your fan cave at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, there's Cedar Smiling Faces. Visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet. And use promo code BSR to get free shipping on all online orders of $75 or more. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, let's look at the baseball weekend to be. Texas and Arkansas got underway last night. Arkansas has had some struggles as of late, and they're hosting a number one team in the country. What a great time to get healthy and get right. In Arkansas, it was all Razorbacks, 9-0. Zach Root goes 8 innings for Arkansas. Yeah, probably the best pitcher in the portal last year and certainly one of the top three. He goes 8 innings, and, man, that saved some bullpen arms for the rest of the weekend. Things set up really well for Arkansas. 11 Ks in that performance. Adrian Rodriguez, a very talented second baseman from Texas, goes 1-for-3 in a losing effort. He had one of Texas's two hits in the game. That's it. You limit a team like Texas. And that's the thing. This Texas team doesn't have, like, that circle guy, right? There's a few guys you got to avoid, but there's no holes in this lineup. And to hold a lineup that explosive to just two hits, that's an impressive outing. Looking ahead to the weekend, Auburn and Tennessee, they'll get underway at 4:30 Central today. That game is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Of course, Auburn 11-10. Tennessee 13-8. And Tennessee's kind of come back to reality just a little bit. Remember, they were, guys, you look at this thing, they were 23-1 going into SEC play. I think that's right. Something like that. They've only lost one non-conference game all year. And 13-8 in conference. But, you know, again, I think outside of Texas, there are a lot of really good teams. There's a couple really bad ones. But I don't think there's a lot of difference between maybe team number three and team number 10. Alabama and Vanderbilt, that'll be interesting. That's in Nashville. And you know how good that Vanderbilt pitching staff has been. They just can't string a lot of things together offensively. This Alabama lineup is not one of the best in the conference. They're good, not great. I could see this thing going the way of Vanderbilt. I could. And they're kind of figuring some things out. And again, Alabama just kind of lingering around there, kind of staying in a hosting discussion. I don't think they're hosting quality, though, even if they end up hosting. LSU is at 8 a.m. That could be a barn burner of a series there. Of course, LSU took 2-3 from Tennessee. Now they go down there to A&M. A&M's just 6 games over 500. We're rooting for LSU. We don't play A&M. A&M's ahead of us in the standings by 1 game. We're pulling for LSU. I know it's hard for a Bulldog, but we're pulling for the Bulldogs. And we need to be ahead of as many teams as we can be. You know, everybody's like, hey, Texas A&M is right at the ship. But hey, they're 1 game ahead of us in the SEC standings and actually have a worse overall record. You know about Kentucky, Mississippi State. Florida's at South Carolina. Florida has all of a sudden gotten hot, gotten right. I think Florida takes that series. And by the way, I think Tennessee takes Auburn. I do. I don't think Auburn's got the starting pitching to contend with that Tennessee offense. But Florida at South Carolina. You like Florida here. South Carolina 5-16 in the league, 26-20 overall. I think there's a real possibility of South Carolina ending under 500. Nathan Hall, a real bright spot for the Gamecocks this year, hitting 345, 7 home run, 37 RBI. The problem with South Carolina is outside of him and Ethan Petrie is they just don't have much around them. You know, Kaz Meyer's done some good things, but you've only got 3 bats you got to avoid. And they've kind of been spacing them out a little bit. Georgia's at Missouri. Do you need me to say it? I mean, Georgia, even though they got to go to Como, you know, they'll probably tear the stadium down. I mean, honest to goodness. It's not a very offensive ballpark until it gets to be this time of year because the winds are blowing out more times than not, and the stadium itself is up on the hill, so you've got an elevated diamond in the windy time of the year. So Georgia will probably hit some tanks. Georgia, offensively, has not been the same team on the road. 12-9 in the league. Maybe not as good as they had hoped, but they're still ranked number 9 in the country and still a really good chance to play their way into the top 8 national seed. They'll pick up three wins this weekend. And Missouri will be 0-24. Would be absolutely shocked. And it's still so interesting. Jackson Lubbock, despite having nothing around him, why does anybody pitch to him? 352, 8 home runs, 40 RBI for Jackson Lubbock, the very talented hitter from Missouri. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. This could be a very interesting weekend. Very, very interesting. Starting pitching for both teams is pretty good. Offensively, not great, but good on both sides. It's tough to win on the SEC road. And you look at this thing, Oklahoma's 30-13, 11-10. Ole Miss 32-13, 12-9. Could be interesting. That ballpark, you know, not necessarily that you say offensive, you know, but, you know, it's a park that has had some moments, especially in right field, that can be very impactful in this ballgame. Oklahoma's got a couple left-handed hitters that can certainly reach that porch. And so we'll see how things play out. But an interesting weekend, and I'm going to pick Oklahoma to win this series. 2-1. I won't be surprised at all if Ole Miss does because, again, these teams I think are fairly comparable. And it's a series that we feel like we should have taken. And, of course, Texas and Arkansas will play game two tonight, 7 p.m. on the network. You know, Texas, again, kind of running away with this thing, but now they're only 4 games up. They were 5 games up starting the week, and now they're 4 games up, and they still got 8 games to play. And so nobody is completely eliminated yet, but now you start thinking about this thing with Texas. They had a chance to kind of clinch the SEC regular season title. That might have to wait a week, maybe. I tell you what's interesting, too, about you know, this Missouri team. You know, because we've kind of looked at this thing and said, hey, you know, we'll definitely get those three. That has not been a sure thing for Mississippi State in recent years, as you guys are well aware. You know, so we can't just go into this thing thinking, hey, we got to get, you know, three to kind of keep things alive. You know, we need to win all three of these series. I mean, that's just kind of call it for what it is. But I'm just curious to see what Missouri's going to look like by the time we get there. They still got to go play in Hoover. They've lost 8 games in a row. They're 1-15 away from their ballpark. 8-13 at home, and then 4 on a neutral side. Of course, they went and played, you know, down to that Andre Dawson Classic and picked up some wins down there. But, you know, but against, you know, their contemporaries, they have not done well. You know, they took 2 out of 2 from Evansville. And Evansville, you know, they're not grand. You know, and I think, too, about what's this series going to do to RPI. You know, you need those 3 SEC wins. But we need some good things to happen to us. And just so you guys know, next weekend, Missouri travels to Texas A&M. When the Bulldogs head to Missouri, we'll be there with them. And let's see, they're doing a whiteout on Thursday. So if you're making the game, probably wear maroon so you don't get misconstrued, misunderstood as a Tiger fan. They'll have a beach towel giveaway for you on Friday. And then it's Military Appreciation Day on May 17th. So we'll be there, and then a few days later, we'll be in Hoover to see how things go. But, yeah, I look at this thing, and you look at their schedule. They'll probably get swept this weekend by Georgia. They have Kansas, the top 25 team, coming to Como on Tuesday. They played last week, of course, and Kansas won that game. And then we go up there. And so it's conceivable that Missouri may not win another game this year. And there was some talk this week about they hadn't properly funded baseball. I think everybody knows that. But men's basketball, obviously, the big part of the Missouri Tigers brand, much at the expense of baseball. If you've ever been up there, you realize that there are junior college stadiums in the state of Mississippi that are better than what they have at Missouri. You know, Taylor Stadium, it's not anything remarkable at all. It's a long trip up there, but we look forward to making it. And I think that is going to be a very important weekend for Mississippi State. But we have to make it important by taking care of business these next 2 weekends. And you start thinking about that aspect of it. People are thinking, you know, we at least got to get to 13. I think we probably need to get to 14. If you get to 13, you probably need to win 2 games in Hoover. Right? We did last year. But the reality of it is, you know, the longer you play, the more games you get to prove yourself. But right now, State's focus needs to be on Kentucky and trying to find a way to win this weekend. You know, it's so hard to predict a sweep in the Southeastern Conference, especially in somebody else's venue. And I know this Missouri team is historically bad. I remember Mark Etheridge and I spoke beginning of the year. And Mark said they may not win six SEC games. And now they have nine games left, and they still haven't won one. And Jacob Bain, one of our contributors over at jeanspage.com, he goes, I want them to win a game before we get there, right? I want them to have an SEC win over somebody. But you begin, you look at the fact that Georgia and Texas A&M, I don't know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But we can't assume those three. I know many of us are. You're thinking, okay, we'll get those three at Missouri, and if we can pick up three or four between Ole Miss and Kentucky, and we got a shot to make it into a regional somewhere. And so we'll see how things go. But it's just so interesting to think. I mean, I haven't done the research yet because I wanted to see how maybe we'll do it the week we play them. You know, has there ever been a team in a modern era of SEC play that went winless in the conference? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, and what do we consider the modern era? I know certainly in the last, you know, say 30, 40 years, that hadn't happened. You know, maybe you go back, you know, to the 20s or 30s. But, you know, it's just a very, very different dynamic and very strange to see an SEC team be winless. And again, it's so incredible to think about. Like, I look at the games that they won. They beat UConn in the Puerto Rico Challenge. That was their first win, and they beat Florida A&M. They beat Lindenwood, and everybody does. And they got two against Evansville. And then they play, they get two against Binghamton, play a four-game series against them. And then since they've gotten into conference play, they have a win over Illinois. And, I mean, doesn't that just ride the RPI, right, if you're Illinois? And then they got two wins over Arkansas Pine Bluff, a win over Southeastern Illinois University at Edwardsville, a win over Missouri State, which was, you know, wild. And then Missouri State comes back to mercy rule them. And that's it. You know, there just hasn't been much to cheer about up there. And, again, this may be a historic year in the SEC that we see a team potentially go 0-30. Pretty remarkable in that respect. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to town, and you should, because you say it all the time, oh, we don't get together enough, stop saying it, start doing it. Get it together. You be the linchpin in your friend and family group to make the plans. Everybody else is waiting for somebody else to do it. Let it be you. Whether it's a ball game weekend or maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's a summer midweek type thing, right? Kids are out of school. You just kind of want to get out and enjoy Starkville, and you got some vacation time. Maybe get everybody together and say, hey, you know, let's use some vacation time. Maybe we don't go to Disney in June. Maybe we go later, or maybe we go down to the Gulf Shores or whatever. But why not plan to come visit Starkville and just get everybody together in the midweek, and there's not as many, it's not as much demand at the restaurants. You could eat at all your favorite restaurants, not have to wait. And I can tell you this, Mom would love to have all the kids and the grandkids under one roof. Yeah. And you don't think about that aspect of it. The older we get, the more that stuff matters. Give Mom some memories. Maybe that's your gift, right? Maybe you book a midweek trip or a weekend trip to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse during the summer, and you give it to her for Mother's Day. It's like, hey, Mom, here's what we're going to do. I've already got everything planned out this weekend. Everybody, brother, sister, grandson, granddaughter, cousins, everybody's coming here. We're going to be with you, Mom. What a great Mother's Day gift that would be, right? I'm the thoughtful one within our friend group, right? So I'm giving you the great idea of giving that to Mom for Mother's Day. Super cool experience. It's in all the pictures. You know, everybody will have it all over social media, and you'll be glad you have that because one day we're all going to be gone. Somber thought, but the reality of life. So live life to its fullest. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the full-service back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 soon-to-be 3 baths. It's so wonderful that we have the opportunity to stay there at Mississippi State. It's 5 minutes away from campus. So incredibly convenient for you. And just a chance, the better part of that is not just the ball games and the dinners. It's all the time just kind of sitting around, getting caught up, playing games, and just kind of loving on each other, right? How incredible is that? Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up, Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. The Evolve website, promo code BSR10, Beautiful Steve Robertson 10, BSR, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. How about that? Nobody else offering you that. We stayed there for New Year's, had a great time. We plan to do it again. It was just so nice to have everybody together. And everybody can be, nobody has to rush home, you know, everybody can just spend the night there. You know, you want to take a nap, you're not going to miss a whole lot, you know. But that's the fun part of it, is just having everybody together. And it reminded me of when my family, when everybody was young, and you do something special. Maybe it's pizza night, or maybe it's, you know, Easter or somebody's birthday, and you can get together and open gifts and things like that and just enjoy being together. Life is hard. It is. Life is stressful. You need to make some time to show those that you love the most how much you love them and spend time with them. And what is the old expression? Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. True story. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, it was a busy day over at jeanspage.com yesterday. We were prepared for the commitment of Colin Coates. And basically, here's what happens there with Colin. So Colin Coates is a guy that comes in, kind of a best available type player. And, you know, State was chasing T.J. Ferguson, offensive lineman formerly of Alabama, formerly of Florida State. He was down between State and Syracuse, and we felt like we could win that thing. Turns out we didn't. And rather than just take another offensive line to take one, we thought, hey, where do we need the most help? Let's go take this Colin Coates guy. Played 2 years at Charlotte, did not redshirt the first year, so he has 3 years to play too. Not that that matters as much anymore in the day of NIL. A lot of things can change, but 6'2", right at 300 pounds, another 300-pounder, a guy that's going to be a depth piece for us at defensive tackle. And, you know, we've had some guys banged up in recent years on the defensive interior. That's how you end up having a true freshman and a former JUCO player that had nowhere to go starting in an SEC game is because we just didn't have any depth. And so we go out and grab him, and he had several other offers, mainly from the G5. I think in the end it was down between us, Toledo, and Southern Miss. He likes to come here. And so any contribution that he makes is a good one, right? But we're not expecting him to come in to start. Again, he is a depth piece, another guy, a true defensive tackle, a big body guy that can kind of eat up space there in the middle, allow the linebackers to make plays. And again, you think about all the things that we've done on defensive line and offensive line in the last 6 months, we're going to look like a different football team without any question. So very big get, maybe literally more so than figuratively, right? I don't think he's a guy that eats up a ton of snaps, but I do think there's a role for him. But probably the biggest news of the day yesterday, and if you've kept up with my crystal ball picks, I think I've missed one in the last 30, and I don't know that I'm going to miss that one. We'll see what happens over the course of the recruiting process. Might not be a miss in the end, but the spring portal has been different. Things have happened at a quicker pace. But Coach Jeff Levy and Coach Matt Holachek get their quarterback for the 2026 class. And here's the first thing that I'll tell you about McCorder. Derek Zammit was a guy that was pretty high on the list early on. And McCorder was probably among the top 3 or 4 targets, right? And so as this Zammit thing kind of wore on, number one, McCorder is bigger. You know, I don't, Zammit's more like Blake Shapen. McCorder is a bigger prospect and a little more athletic. Originally committed to West Virginia, backed off of that commitment, has 30 offers. I'm going to run through these for you quickly, just so you know. Because a lot of times you hear, he's got 30 offers, you know, it's mainly G5s. It's not with him. He's got Arkansas, Auburn, Boston College, Colorado, Florida International, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Indiana, Jacksonville State, Louisville, Michigan State, Minnesota, NC State, Nebraska, North Carolina, Ohio State, Oregon, Purdue, Syracuse, TCU, Troy, UAB, Central Florida, South Florida, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, of course, Wisconsin. That's an impressive list. So it's not like we just beat out Troy and Stephen F. Austin to get him. And very excited young man. He's out of Cass High School there in Cartersville, Georgia. We're going to maybe get out and go see him play. I like to go see the quarterbacks play, even though it's a bit of a, it's about a five-hour trip. But, you know, we can make it work. You know, either State has – maybe we do it in the open date, or maybe we do it when State has a night game on Saturday. So we make that trip to Cartersville and go check them out and drive back, sleep a little bit late on Saturday, and then get up and go to the ball game. But we're going to make it our business to get out there and see Brody play at some point this season. At least that's the hope, right? But, you know, you guys need to get to know him a little bit. He hadn't done a ton of media. He was going to schedule a bunch of visits. I think he had four or five scheduled. He will only visit Mississippi State now. He had a final three of Colorado, Indiana, and Mississippi State. Announced yesterday at his high school. First, he was going to take all of his visits and then make an announcement after the visits. And you'd like to get your quarterback in during the spring. You really would, right? Because you want to build the class around him. Then he was going to do it May 15th. He moves it up to May 1st. And Jeff Lebby and the Bulldogs have been red hot the last 2 weeks. And so now you got your quarterback. And McWhorter tells me now he's ready to get to work recruiting. That's what his part is now, is help bringing his class together. He's already told Jeff Lebby some of the guys he's going to target. He plans to be at every Mississippi State home game this year and will try to make some away games when possible. And he wants to help build this class. He wants to be the leader in this class. Now, here's the thing. You look at this and say, well, you know, Stevie's, you know, the number 33, you know, quarterback in the country, right? Or, you know, is that what he is? Yeah, 33. 27 by composite. The fact that we can get a guy with 30 offers after taking a transfer from Luke Cromanhawk, after signing Kamario Taylor, who when everybody sees him is going to be like, holy smokes, the fact that you can get a top 30 quarterback or thereabouts says a lot about Jeff Lebby and Matt Holachek. Because how many times in our past – when you know, you can't go get the big blue chip quarterback because the depth chart is kind of stacked against you, you go get the kid that's like, you know, headed to Furman. It's true, right? And then the guy comes in and after a couple of years feels like, hey, it's not going to be for me and I'm going to transfer. But I think Brody McWhorter is a guy, the number one, he'll certainly redshirt, I think, his first year, which will allow you to put a little distance between he and the guys ahead of him. But in addition to that, too, you know, you want to be in a scenario where you're signing the best available quarterback each and every year because, as memory has shown us, you never know when you're going to have to play him. You don't ever want to just go sign a backup or a roster filler because transfer portal and injuries may lead to a scenario where you've got to go start that guy. So you have to go out and land the best available quarterback prospect each and every year that you can get. Now, you got to be smart with it, right? You want to go out there and start chasing a bunch of guys and make everybody on your depth chart uneasy, and they think, well, I'm just going to transfer out of here. But the reality of it is, you know, we're going to try to improve our recruiting efforts each and every year. Competition's a very good thing. I think this is a very good get. I think when you watch his film, you'll enjoy watching him play. Runs a lot of concepts similar to what we do already. So he should be able to kind of come in and kind of understand the verbiage and some of the foundational standards of the Bulldog offense. So, yeah, good get. And I've been kind of teasing here for the better part of 2 months that I thought he was going to ultimately end up being the guy. Derek Zambit, of course, came to camp last year, held State in pretty high regard. Then he got the offer from North Carolina, then Alabama. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be critical of the kid. I don't think he's big enough to play at Alabama with the concepts that they run. You know, I know that Kalen DeBoer is going to do things his own way, so maybe that's more the brand of quarterback he's going to be chasing. But I think if Derek Zamek goes to Alabama, and I haven't kept up with him basically since it appeared at State was prioritizing McWhorter, I think he'll be in the portal. I do. I think Zamek could have come here and played. I think he's one of those guys who's like, hey, I want to go to the best school possible, and he should go somewhere where I can be developed and potentially play in a National Football League. I think his size is going to probably prevent that. But all that I understood, I'm so glad we did not have to kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel because of the depth chart, not because of our efforts, but any quarterback out there that goes and watches video of Kamario Taylor, and then they see that Mississippi State signed one of the best quarterback prospects in the portal back in December, who played as a freshman last year at Florida State, you know, you got to really want to come to Mississippi State. It's not like there's already 2 years built between you and the guy, right? You know, the guy right now at Mississippi State is a senior in Blake Shapen, and then you've got a true freshman, a true sophomore behind him. So you could be in a scenario where you come to Mississippi State and you may not play meaningful snaps for 3 years, and you have to be okay with that on the front end. And so the thing that Brody told me is that he's very comfortable with the development plan and the calendar. And so Mississippi State has been very forthright with him. It's like, hey, this is our vision for you. These are our plans for you. This is what we need to do. This is what we're going to offer you. And you come in here and you work hard, and we think at some point you can be our guy. I love it. I do. And I like, I think it's very intelligent recruiting. How many times have you seen, you know, some guy come up and say, well, you know, this is what they told me, and then things go sideways, right? That's always a part of this thing too, you know. You know, we'll see. You know, but I like the Brody McWhorter take. I don't think we're going to see a lot of commitments between now and the official visits. And those will get cranked up here later this month. I think everybody now, other than the quarterbacks, are kind of in a holding pattern. You know, many of the quarterbacks were kind of beginning to get pressured because, hey, they want you to come in for these visits as a committed prospect and kind of help recruit. Everybody ideally wants their quarterback in the spring. That's one of those things about the recruiting calendar that hadn't really changed. They can change the signing dates. They can change the enrollment dates. They can change all these transfer rules. But that is a tried and true method of recruiting to get the quarterback pretty early in your class to kind of help him help you put the class together. Very, very important. And again, I feel really good about Brody. I think you guys will too. So taking a look at this class, currently ranked 27th in the country with 8 commitments. And you may have seen that Camden Capehart won the 100 again in Texas, the state championship again. One of the fastest players in the country. 5'9", 165. And I'm eager to see how Jeff Lebby can use him. But you know, you got Jaden Hill, who I still think is undervalued, the top, you know, running back in the state, in my estimation. Cameron Brown from Valdosta State, a corner. Jacoby Green, one of the top offensive line prospects in the Southeast, especially at the guard position. And he's a guy, too, that I think maybe hadn't gotten his just due with the rankings, and that's completely fine. We'll just keep him right where he is. We'll sign him as a 3-star, develop him into 4, and maybe he graduates as a 5. Of course, Brody McWhorter now joins the class. Iverson McCoy's been with us a long time. JT Taylor and Emmanuel Tucker. So 8 commitments right now as we get ready to get into the official visit stuff. And we'll talk more about those visits as we get a little bit closer. But it looks like the June 20th date is going to be pretty stacked. That's going to be a pretty stacked deal. And you know, that's when you're bringing in a lot of the commitments and a lot of your priority targets. We'll see how things kind of play out there. The weekend before, 14, right? Now, some of those guys, not going to make the trip. Like Parker Pritchett out of Carver High School, we said early on that we thought he would be a guy that would ultimately go to Auburn. He's committed to Auburn. Jaden Terry was a guy we liked, big corner. And the discussion then was Georgia Tech, which is a school to watch. He's committed to Georgia Tech, so he may not come in. Daryl Rivers, an edge from McGurchin High School in Powder Springs, Georgia. He's another guy that we think an awful lot of. Still picking up offers. Prince Jean, cornerback. Guy that could really play on either side of the football. And a teammate of Cameron Brown. He's another guy to watch. But that weekend's going to be pretty big too. But mainly out-of-state guys. Thursday, May 29th, that's going to be the first visits for us. So we're talking about, you know, 3 weeks from now, thereabouts. You know, you got a lot of guys in that group, mainly out-of-state guys. Not as big a weekend, but these lists are going to change a lot because as guys begin to commit, schools are going to cancel some visits and players are going to cancel some visits. Schools' needs, they feel like their needs are met, and the players are going to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to play, you know, wide receiver, running back, and you've already taken a running back and four wide receivers. No point in me taking that visit, right? So what you see on the visit calendar today is not exactly what you're going to see come the end of the month. That's important to understand. And then the bulk of the recruiting will be done in June. June will be a very busy month for us and for Mississippi State. Many of the guys that come in for the prospect camps will be sophomores and juniors, trying to identify those guys. There won't be a lot of seniors camping. Some will, but they're not going to be a lot of those guys. Most of those guys are going to be out taking visits. And a senior that comes to camp at Mississippi State is a guy that really wants to be at Mississippi State, and maybe he hadn't earned an offer yet. And so that's a guy that's maybe, you know, for later in the process. But, you know, we offered a couple guys last year in camp and then brought them in for visits. And so there will be some of those, but it's not like it used to be. Used to, that first camp, you had the best and the brightest in your class. And, of course, you had, big dog camp, and all the commitments came, and they had the big first team meeting and all that kind of stuff. But the dynamic has changed now that we have official visits in June. And again, I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten this. One of the things that we discussed when they began to change the recruiting calendar, we talked about the transfer portal, about moving the official visit process up, is going to lead the guys making more rash decisions. More schools are going to make rash decisions to ensure they have something, and as a result, you're going to see more guys go get in the portal. That's not as big a deal as the NIL, but I don't think you've got the benefit of their senior year to truly evaluate them. You know, used to, you had, hey, you'd offer them as juniors, camp them as seniors, follow them, commit them, bring them in for official visits in January and February, and you get done with it. Well, now you don't get the benefit of the senior year to evaluate. So people are having to make decisions with less data. And as a result, some of these decisions prove to be the wrong fit. And so I think that's an unintended consequence of the change in the recruiting calendar. I think that is a contributing factor to the portal explosion that people don't talk about enough. Because it's not the guy out there chasing the big NIL check. It's running those numbers up. It's the guy that was misevaluated that goes to your school that can't play, and now he's back in the portal. He's not going to command a big NIL check, but he's a guy that you thought, hey, this guy may be able to help us, and he doesn't develop at the rate you hoped, and so he doesn't play at all for you. He's got to go in the portal and try to catch on somewhere at a G5 or an FCS school. You know, that's what drives the big numbers about the portal. And a lot of our fans don't appreciate that. You just see the guys leaving. Like I saw the other day, there was some report out there in one of these Facebook groups about there was a recruit that was essentially a walk-on at State. Doesn't make the team, goes in the portal. And people say, oh, it's a cash grab. He didn't get any cash to come here. Matter of fact, he was paying to come here. And you just automatically assume that every guy in the portal's got his hand out. You know, and it's legal. I'm not suggesting that it's not. But a lot of these numbers that you're seeing are not those guys looking to go get a big NIL check. They all want a big NIL. I want a big NIL check, right? But the bulk of the guys in the portal are not going to command money like that. A lot of those guys are just simply guys that committed early and did not progress as a player, and they've been processed out. Now they're looking for somewhere else to play. They're not looking for the check. They're just looking for an opportunity to get their education paid for and then perhaps continue to play the game they love. That is something that I think fans need to fully appreciate. All right, we got the Mother's Day special at True West Float Spa of Starkville. It's been a very, 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 very busy week. Will be a busy weekend as well. We've had a lot of people coming in getting the Mother's Day package. Two floats for $99. That can be two floats for mom. That can be two floats for you. That can be a float that you and her share. You can't float together, but you can float in the same time in your own individual suite. So $99, you and mom can both come float in your own individual pods. That's quite the discount. It's usually $89 for a float. First floats are $65, but floats beyond that for non-members is $89. So you get two for $99. You can come try it. You're a person that suffers with, you know, stress, anxiety, chronic pain. Well, you know, we may be able to help you. We may. We've helped many others. And we give you an opportunity to come just kind of take some time to yourself. Because how many times do we say, I'm going to go spend some time to myself. We sit in our bed. We're on our phone. TV's on. Ceiling fans rattling around up there. And it's not peaceful. And it's incredible what we kind of accept today as being serenity, you know. Because we're so incredibly overstimulated, every one of us. And so this is a chance for you to kind of get that mental reset, kind of give yourself, you know, some physical recovery too. Call 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana, and she can answer any of the questions you may have. Or you can download the TrueRest app, and you can schedule online or schedule over the phone. We're happy either way. We just want you to come and find some peace and comfort for yourself. And also supporting a Starkville business. Yeah, now in our second year. Yeah, super cool. Super cool. You can go to DutyNobleBook.com and get mom or dad signed copies of all my sports titles or the book When the Bottom Falls. We'd encourage you to do that. I got some other things we'll announce here pretty soon. Working on some other things, just haven't drilled them down yet. And we'll get some signed agreements here pretty soon, and we'll have some things to share with you. I'll have a lot to say when that happens. And we're offering 60% off the annual subscription price at jeanspage.com. It's only going to last a few more days. We're doing that to make our information about the coaching search more affordable for you guys. We could just charge the regular rate, but we're not doing that. We know that we're the best at what we do, but we're going to offer to you at a discount because there are a lot of people that want to know what's happening with the coaching search. And as this month goes on, it's going to get, you know, business is going to pick up. I mean, while I have sat here and recorded this show, I'm sitting here looking, 3 missed calls that I have to return and 11 messages from people either offering information or wanting to compare notes. So a lot of things out there, and I try to work through that and vet out what we can and share it. We'll do somewhat regular updates, not going to do an update every day. And today being game day, we're not going to do any of the – probably not going to do any coaching stuff updated this week. That's going to happen this weekend anyway. Yeah, but if we learn some things, we'll share them. But not going to have an update every day because it gets kind of repetitive and there's just not a lot of let's report yet. But as we learn more about candidates and perhaps their candidacy, we're going to share that over at jeanspage.com for sure. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.